We're in a series entitled Key Questions About Life. And in this particular series, we've been wrestling with some difficult questions about life. And what we've done to find solutions is that we have looked at an Old Testament book, a little book by the name of Obadiah. Now, today's question we're going to look at is the question of, is God fair? Is God actually fair? You know, we think about, even a little bit with Chris talking about Orange County and the story worked out, we look at two salesmen, one honest, one dishonest. And sometimes we see the dishonest salesman doing better. God, what's going on with that? Is God fair? We see many examples like that, and there are times in our lives, and rightly so, where we question, is God really fair in what He is doing in His world? And more than that, if God is fair, what's He going to do about it, and how is He going to do something about this? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to be in the Old Testament book of Obadiah. It's on page 653 in your Bible that is provided for you, and I would encourage you to open one of those Bibles and find this little bitty book tucked away in the Old Testament. In fact, it's only one page, but honestly, this one-page book packs quite a wallop. Is God fair? Last week, are people fair? We talked about this. And some very difficult conclusions we came to is, no, people are not fair. And then the first question we looked at is, life fair? Is life fair? And no, life is not going to be fair at times. Basically, we're looking at two brothers, Jacob, and he is, in a sense, the father of the nation of Israel, and Esau, the father of the nation of the Edomites. So you have two brothers, two people groups. One of them existed on a flat plain in the city of Jerusalem. And the other existed way up in the high rocks, the place called Petra. And they were safe. What happened is the Philistines, an enemy, came in and attacked and destroyed Jerusalem, was carrying people away. And the other brother, the Edomites, watched with pleasure as their brothers, the Israelites, were being taken away into captivity. And looking at those first nine verses in the Old Testament book of Obadiah, we determine that life isn't going to be fair. Things are going to happen to you that are not fair. That's the way it is. There are times that people are not going to be fair to you. They will take advantage of you. They will mislead you. They will look with pleasure on your difficult times. We talked about that last week. But what we're going to do is finish this whole time talking about, is God fair? What is God? And if God's fair, what's He going to do? And how's He going to handle this? And as you look at life today, I think you can come to the conclusion. Look on your outline. It appears that God is unfair. It appears that God is unfair. God, there's so many things going on that seem unjust. Why don't You do something about it, God? Make it right. And God, in His wisdom, gave us a little book called Obadiah and shows us some injustice going on in the world. And in this injustice, He gives us some amazing answers of what He is going to do. Is God fair? Okay, we're going to look at verse 15 today, 15 and 16. In the little book of Obadiah, and there's some key thoughts here. Look with me at verse 15. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. Verse 16. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink, and be as if it had never been. Interesting things that he's doing here. Look at it says, the day of the Lord is near. We're going to talk about the day of the Lord here in a few moments. But listen, it goes for, the day of the Lord is near for what? For all nations. It changes now from just the Edomites Obadiah is a prophecy against the Edomites, but in verse 15 it changes for all nations. So what he's going to share with us in these two verses deals with every nation, what God will do. And he uses a term called the Day of the Lord. And then in verse 16 he just kind of describes, evidently when the Edomites came in and were helping out, they were drinking and getting drunk and all kinds of bad things were going on. And God said, in a future day, Edomites, when you are captured and destroyed, your people will be taken away and people will drink. And it's just an interesting symbol. It's used a lot in the scripture. They'll drink in your area because you did it to my people in Jerusalem. So it gives us a couple of thoughts here about this term, the Day of the Lord. All right, let me share a couple of things that kind of get us going. Then we're going to back up and look at this term because it's really the whole key to is God fair? And yet, we don't know a lot about this term. All right, remember two truths on your outline. Number one is this. God will punish all injustice. God will do this. And this is bound up in the idea of the Day of the Lord. But He will punish all injustice. People do not get away with treating people unfairly, behaving, doing acts that are unjust against people. God knows. You know why I know? Where in the Scripture does it tell us that God knows? How about this one? I think there's a couple of lines below this little box. The first one, first verse is Galatians 6:7. If you think you're going to get away with it and nobody knows, God knows. You're not going to get away with it. Read this verse with me. Do not be... God cannot be mocked. Alright, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, you don't pull one over on God. He knows. You don't get away with it with God. He will deal rightly and justly with every situation. Don't be deceived. Understand that God cannot be tricked, God cannot be taken advantage of, God cannot be mocked, is what that means. Whatever has happened to you, God knows about it. And he says, a man reaps what he sows. Eventually it comes out. Second verse here, there's a second line, Psalm 7, verse 15 and 16. This is such an interesting verse. He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he has made. Think you'll get away with it? No way. No way. God knows. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. His violence comes down on his own head. These are two key verses that God says, I want you to know that I know what's going on. I am aware of it. And that I will deal with it in my time. That's the problem, isn't it? It's a fact that maybe we believe that God will deal with it, but the reality is we want Him to deal with it now. And God doesn't work that way. And I wish He did at times, but He doesn't. God is working on His timetable in His own way to deal with all injustice. So, what He does then is he uses this little term, the Day of the Lord, and it's actually introduced into the Old Testament in a couple of places. And so what we're going to do is spend a minute here looking at the Day of the Lord. It is an Old Testament term. It does not mean one particular thing. It's going to involve a period of time. And during this period of time, it's interesting, the term has an element of justice with it, but also an element of peace, justice and peace, the Day of the Lord. You'll find it in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. You'll find it in Joel. You'll find it in Obadiah. And you'll find it also in Zechariah. And it's interesting, when you find it in those areas, each particular book emphasizes a different part of it. Here, in the book of Obadiah, it's talking about justice. And that part of the Day of the Lord involves that. In Zechariah, it talks about blessing and promise. So you look at this term, Day of the Lord, and it involves a lot. Okay, three key words in a little box on your outline. Number one, it involves what is called the tribulation. The tribulation is that first little box. We know from Daniel 9 in the Old Testament that this period of time will go on for 7 years. We also know in Revelation, beginning in chapter 3 and on, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever, this time of tribulation is a terrible, awful time of God pouring out His wrath on the earth. So the day of the Lord involves a time of judgment, a time of setting things right, and it involves a tribulation. Second, it involves the second coming. The second coming here involves Jesus Christ coming back to the earth. You wonder if He's coming back? He is coming back. And part of the day of the Lord involves His coming for the world. And we have more information about both of these. Write down Matthew 24 when I've done an outline of things to come. And I've done that message about 4 times here. Matthew 24, these events are described. The final part of the day of the Lord is the millennium. Millennium, referring to 1,000. We know from Revelation 21 that millennium means 1,000 years. And this is a time of blessing on the earth, where all sin is put away. And it's a time of blessing. So when you talk about this day of the Lord, he introduces this term to Obadiah, who I'm sure had, I don't know how much he understood the term the day of the Lord until you have the rest of the Bible, makes it much easier to understand. It's a time of judgment, meaning the tribulation and the second coming. But it's also a time of blessing, meaning the millennium. And so what he's saying as he introduces this term to us is that there is coming a time where I, God, will use the day of the Lord to set everything straight. Everything that is wrong, that is unjust, I will take care of it at that time. And so this is why this term is introduced in here in verses 15 and 16. So let me put it to you this way. When God sets things straight, He's going to do it in a number of ways. Number one, He may do it immediately. There may be situations that you face that are unfair and unjust, and God may deal with them immediately. That does happen. He may deal with them then. Second, the idea here is that He may deal with unjustness at a time called the tribulation. The tribulation, where He pours His wrath out on the world. Or finally, He may deal with injustice at what is called the Great White Throne. The Great White Throne is mentioned in Revelation 21. And this is where those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior are judged. Judgment is coming, God says. The day of the Lord is my solution to it. You need to understand that it involves a period of time, and trust me. And that's what's going on in verses 15 and 16. It's very interesting to know how much they had any clue of what they were hearing. You know, obviously the Holy Spirit was enlightening them at this time, but without the rest of the Scriptures, it would be very difficult to understand this. And so now what he does, beginning at verse 17, is he goes through and he talks about the setting things straight, setting things right. On your outline, here it goes. The first thing is that God will judge or punish all injustice. The second thing is God will establish righteousness on earth. God will establish righteousness on earth, and this is during the millennium, during the day of the Lord. This is a tough little section of God's Word, but you need to understand that God is going to do this. Now, beginning of verse 17, he's going to describe what will happen to the Jews primarily, his chosen people, because they've just been wiped out. Verse 17, but on Mount Zion in Jerusalem will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. Now, the house of Jacob is Israel, and he's going to possess his inheritance. That probably, I don't believe, will happen until this time called the millennium. With all that's going on in Israel today, can you believe the Gaza Strip? Now they're uprooting people, and it's unbelievable. I do not believe that Jacob will possess all of his inheritance until this time in the millennium. In the millennium, I believe when this promise will be fulfilled. It has not yet been fulfilled. The house of Jacob, verse 18, will be a fire. The house of Joseph, a flame. And the house of Esau will be what? Stubble. In other words, Esau, the other brother, will be destroyed. and they will set it on fire and consume it. There will be what? No survivors from the house of Esau, the Lord has spoken. Don't mess with God's people. Don't mess with His plan. And that's what happened to the Edomites. They did. They did not come to the aid of their brothers and help them. And so God is judging them. Verse 19, people from the Negev, this is another area, will occupy the mountains of Esau. So there will be people coming in, occupying their homeland. The people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. Now the Philistines are who invaded Jerusalem at this particular time. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria. Benjamin will possess Gilead. So what you have here is a bunch of different groups that will occupy as God judges what's going on. Verse 20, this company of Israelite exiles who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are on the Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. All right, so he's just describing now geographically what's going to happen ultimately. And the picture here is that God is going to set injustice right with His people. The Jews is what the context here is. But it's going to, He will set it all straight through this time called the Day of the Lord. And this is actually just a very short section. Look at verse 21. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the what? Kingdom will be the Lord's. The kingdom will be the Lord's, and He will judge rightly. So what you have going on in this little book, and what we've been looking at for 3 weeks, is you've got a group of people that are treated unjust and unfairly by their relatives, by their brothers. They're treated that way, and God looks down, and God sends a messenger, and this messenger's name is Obadiah. And he is coming and speaking against the Edomites. He is talking to the Jews against the Edomites. But as you and I look at this passage, we know there's much more here than that. That he is talking about his future plan for, in verse 15, all the nations. And so that's what is taking place here. And basically he's saying, you've been treated unjustly, unfairly. I know that. I'm God. I'm going to deal with that with a period of time called the Day of the Lord. Trust me. I, God, will do this. This little book, you know, you can look at this and you just turn right by it, but there are some amazing lessons that we need to take from it. On your outline then, let me tell you what. We need to hear this message when we experience injustice and unfairness in life. And you will. Get ready for it. It will happen. It will come. Welcome to life. It will take place. All right. It may appear that God is unfair. Actually, God is well aware of this. You do not mock God. You do not pull one over on God. He is working in His timetable to establish His justice on the earth. In other words, we're not going to pull one over on God. Nobody is. But He'll deal with it in His time. It may be immediately during that day or a very short period of time after that. It may be in a time called the tribulation, as I told you, or ultimately it may be at the great white throne where God will set it all straight. He will. All right. What is the alternative? The alternative is we become angry and bitter because, God, You're not straightening everything out the way I want it straightened out, the way I want it to be. And we do. We struggle with that. Everybody struggles with that at times. Do you ever struggle with that? Yeah. God, what's going on? The alternative is anger and bitterness, and all you're going to do is hurt yourself more than anybody else. You turn it inward, it becomes depression, anxiety, tension, and you're going to be messed up. You're not designed to deal with anger and bitterness for an indefinite period of time. So when things happen to you and you're saying, God, I really struggle with this, let me suggest something else. Understand anger and bitterness is one way to go at it, and you may go through some of that in the process of dealing with whatever you're dealing with. You should, probably, if you're natural and normal. Here's what I'm going to suggest. Lay it at His feet. Do what you can reasonably to straighten out a situation. But at some point, it's beyond you, and you put it at His feet and you trust Him. And you understand the day of the Lord is coming and God will deal with injustice during that time. People may escape it in the short run. They may even escape it in their life on earth, but ultimately God will set it straight. His time. He says, I will repay. God says, I will repay. Do you trust Him? Do what you can, and then lay it at His feet. And go on, and that ain't easy. It isn't easy. It ain't easy. That's tough stuff, but that's what Christianity is. It's tough stuff at times. And then finally, trust Him, love others, put it in His hands. Trust Him and love others. Do not let anger and bitterness rule and consume you. It will eat your lunch. I used that term last week. It will eat your lunch. Drive you nuts. So Obadiah is so important to us because it points to the picture that life isn't fair. People aren't going to be fair, and we even wonder if God is fair, and He is, because He will set every injustice straight. But He's going to do it in His time and in His way. And we know that because the day of the Lord is a point in time, is a period of time that He will deal with all this. And that's His answer. Now you can either trust Him and lay it at His feet, or you can become angry, bitter, cantankerous, grouchy, grumpy, nasty, ugly, not nice people to be with. Or you can lay it at His feet and trust Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Next week is a very exciting week. We are beginning the whole process of 40 days. What will happen next week is we'll probably start very close to 10:30, maybe a few minutes before that. I need you in here, seated and going, because what's going to happen is I'm going to stand up and just pray. You'll have a program, as we normally do in the bulletin, and we will turn the screen on, the projector on, it'll be on. What are we going to turn on, Chris? The player. There we go. And we're going to watch what was done at Saddleback Church for a simulcast. And during this fall, hundreds of churches are doing the same thing we are. They're going to be watching this similar simulcast. Maybe not all tomorrow, all on that Sunday morning, because churches have multiple services. But we're going to observe kind of the kickoff of this. All the verses will be on the screen. There will be singing. We'll be able to sing along with them. Many of the songs we'll know because we've been singing them. And we're going to just be challenged. It's going to be a longer service than normal. With Children's Church, Tony, I want to have Children's Church, the children in here. This is such a unique event that I think it will very much move you in a great time. So we want to begin at 10:30. Be ready to rock and roll at 10:30 and go. And we will be done probably somewhere between a quarter of 12 and 12. It's going to go longer, but it's going to be a great, great kickoff and beginning for us. And I'm looking forward to this. We've had a lot of prayer going into this, and we're excited about it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray and receive and give an offering to the Lord and finish our service. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control. Thank you, this term, the day of the Lord, is one that means so much to us, not necessarily because of judgment, but because of incredible blessing that you will give and establish on the earth for us. In the meantime, give us the strength to go on day by day, step by step, sometimes minute by minute for some folks. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you are in control and that you are not mocked. Nobody pulls one over on you. You will set it straight, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you that we can give to you, and we do that. Gratefully, in Jesus' name, amen.